Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Dr. Annie B. Wilder coming on the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show. I'm coming as usual to say good morning, good morning, good morning. Hey, yes, you know it's Monday morning. Ah, yes, the days are going so fast. The months are going. Hey, people, children are beginning to go back to school. Yes, even my granddaughter says to me yesterday, we're going to do the last minute of school shopping because school resumes on Wednesday. I said, oh, my God. Oh, so, yes, we can't. It's hard to keep up with the days because they're going so fast. But the one thing for sure, if you hear my voice, usually you know it's Monday morning. Yes, Monday. That's the day that I come to say good morning, good morning, good morning. And then I ask you, hey, respond. Tell me, how are you? Yes, it's the day that I come to attempt to encourage your heart, maybe give some answers for some things that you've been pondering. Well, either way, all the way, somehow to give something during this time that you spend with me to uplift you, that when you leave this broadcast, you'll say, oh, I heard that. Oh, Dr. Wilder said that. Dr. Wilder pointed that out from scripture and so on and so forth. All right, so here I am again. Oh, somebody just said, but I'm waiting for you to say you're excited. I love it. You guys have been with me long enough to know me. Yes, I have a topic, and I'm excited. Yes, excited, first of all, to just be with you, and excited to be able to come and share the word of God with you. So what is my topic for today? You're waiting, right? Well, I won't keep you in suspense any longer. It is the Good Shepherd. Yes, the Good Shepherd. Yes, and I'm coming from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 14 in your hearing. But hopefully you have pencil and paper or you know how to go back and pull up the broadcast. Because, you know, I talk about a lot of other scriptures. I bring them in to the discussion. All right? So, listen. Let's get started. Let's get started. Let's get started. All right? And how do we start? Wait, yes, with prayer. All right? So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, most high God, oh God, my God, my God, our God, oh, this morning, Lord, I come in the name of Jesus. I come, Lord God, along with your people that are listening far and near, those that are in our country and in another country, oh God, wherever they are, nationally and internationally, I come praying this morning, Lord, and coming to thank you first and foremost for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. Thanking you for all that you have done, and thank you for what you're yet doing, and thanking you, Lord, for the understanding and the confidence that we can have in you, that you are the same God. We didn't turn, and we're not looking for another one. Therefore, you are the same God that has made ways for us in the past, that have opened doors for us, have Lord God, healed our bodies and encouraged our hearts. And so we come once again, Lord, with our cups extended, that you would fill them again, fill them till they overflow, flow. Fill them with revelation, insight, understanding, wisdom, oh, from you, Father God. And, oh, God, as I come from my radio audience, oh, you know each one of them. Yes, you know them by name. You know their whereabouts. You know their concerns. You know their secret thoughts. And so, Father, I lift them up to you. I lift them up. You know them name by name. You know them. So I lift them up to you, asking that you intercede, that you intervene, the Lord God, that you make ways, that you do what you do, what you do, because you're that kind of God. You're the God that's promised to supply our every need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You're the God that can make ways where there seem to be no way. You're the God that takes that which was meant for bad come out of it. So, Father God, that's what I pray today for this radio audience, Lord. And, Father, we continue to lift up our nation altogether, men in high places, according to your command, according to your word, to pray for men everywhere. So we pray for those in high places. We pray for our national leaders and our local leaders. And, God, we've the leaders, Lord God, to give the people that you ordained to be there. Oh, God. And, of course, we lift up the students, Lord, and their parents. We lift up every area of their lives that you'll make a way when it seems to be no way. Open doors for them now, God. Lead them to that place where there's the help that they may need, whether it's financially, oh, God, whether it's supplies or whatever it is. Let them know that there's help out there. Oh, let them know, God, and give them the drop of pride and go and make it known that they're in need of whatever it may be. And so, Father, I just thank you for it all being done. And, of course, I don't close out with asking that you anoint me, oh, God, anoint these lips of clay today. In fact, give your Holy Spirit charge to deliver this message today, Lord, to the radio audience, those that will listen today and those that will listen at a later time as you continue to touch the bodies and heal, Lord God. Encourage those, oh, God, with negative diagnosis. Encourage them. Remind them that you're still God, that you're still a healer, that you're still a deliverer, that Jesus already bore a stripe for whatever they may be dealing with. Do this all, God. In Jesus' name I pray, and I say amen and amen and amen, all right? And I'm going to be reading from John chapter 10, that's St. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, okay? New Testament, starting at chapter 10, verses 1 through 14, coming from the New King James Bible. All right, you all ready? You're ready, okay? So it said, most assuredly, I say to you, this is red writing. This is red writing. So that, what does that mean? You got it. You got it. It means that, hey, this is Jesus speaking, Jesus teaching. Yes, all right? So it says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may give it and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. Praise the Lord. Yes, that doesn't end the chapter, but that's as much as I can read right now in your hearing. always, I ask you, go back and read. Read the previous chapter, read this chapter, and by then you're really caught up and you're going to be reading and enjoying the Word of God, which is so important for you to read the Word of God, to get excited about reading the Word of God. Yes, there's life in it. It's life. It's life. It's encouraging. It's food. It's food for your soul. Yes. And so we thank God for the Word, which is already blessed. I don't have to ask him to add a blessing because it's a blessed. His Word is blessed. Praise God. And those that hear it and those that read it will be blessed. Praise the Lord. So again, the Good Shepherd being my title, my topic for today. Yes, and as we find in our scripture text, what we find here is a follow-up of a message when we were looking at chapter 9 at a man who has been blind from birth. Yes, all his life he has been blind. And now he's up in age. He's up in age, but and Jesus comes along and heals him. And so he didn't even know who Jesus was. But he knew when Jesus gave him a command, which was simply to go wash after Jesus had anointed his eyes, okay, that he was supposed to go and wash. And he followed, the point is he followed Jesus' instruction. Now, this is very important, okay? We don't follow the instructions of everybody, but this particular man had been in his situation so long, and people had come and gone day by day and year by year, and none of them had been able to offer him such instructions or the hope that he now had. I mean, because he was a beggar, he said, and yeah, he looked for alms and people, though he couldn't see them, I'm sure he could sense that people were wagging their heads at him, poor man, for year in and year out. And here comes this individual who offers him a solution, just says, anoint and go wash. Go wash. And so he did, and he came back seeing. Well, now look, when we talk about the Good Shepherd, today I'm talking about the Good Shepherd. And when I say the Good Shepherd, that means there's got to be a contrast between the one that is good, the one that's favored, versus one that is not. And so, hey, about a shepherd, we're talking about a religious leader. We're talking about those individuals that of our day that God has placed in position to teach us and to lead us and, you know, and be that mouthpiece for God to the people, all right? And in the time that Jesus was teaching here, he was saying, I'm the good shepherd. And he was making a contrast between the religious leaders of the time with this man, okay? Because the religious leaders came along beside this man and heard of the healing, the miracle that had taken place. And rather than being excited for him, they began to question him. Okay, who did this? How did you see? How did you come to see? You're a sinner. Who sinned? You and your mom, you know, your parents, okay? Oh, my God. They had their own ways of thinking that it should be done, that healing should take place, okay? That anything good was supposed to take place, all right? And so they questioned him and questioned him. And all he knows is, all I know is I can see. In other words, they questioned him. Who was this man? Who is he? Where is he? All right? For the details of that message, you have to go back a few weeks, all right? But or just read the text yourself. Read the lesson, chapter 9, all right? But anyway, when they couldn't get satisfactory answers from him, they went to his parents, and they began to question them. Is this your son? All right? And they had a rule during that time that if any came alongside Jesus, they became his follower, or they proclaimed his name, then they would be put out the church. The synagogue, as they would call it then, okay? They would be put out. And some people were so caught up in just being a part of the establishment, all right, that they would prefer to deny what they did know or even to come along a relationship, a knowledge of him, that these parents, hey, they kept saying, he's our son. Yes, we know he's our son. He was born blind. Hey, but as for, hey, who did it and how it was done, go ask him. He's a man. Go ask him. So in other words, they were trying to move themselves out of a place that they would be excommunicated. Being a part of that establishment, that religious establishment, was more important to them. So they just put it back on their son, which in a way, hey, I think that was good. But the point is the motives. And that's one thing that I talk about often. We got to pay attention to our motives for our responses, our motives for our actions, our motives for what we're thinking, our motives. What are we thinking? What are we hoping to accomplish? What is the reason for saying and doing the things that we do? Sometimes we get ourselves in trouble, hey, because it's our motive that's behind our actions. And our motives are not always uplift. Our motives many times are all about self, okay, self-protection, all right? So that's a word right away to somebody. What's your motive behind what you just did? What's your motive about that plan you're hatching up? What's your motive behind it? Is to uplift somebody or is it try to tear down somebody? Is it try to fight your own battles rather than letting the Lord avenge you? Hey, nobody's saying that maybe what has been done to you was wrong, but we're saying that God is the one to avenge. Let God fight the battle, all right? And you just stay pure before the Lord. Stay clean. Keep clean hands before God. In other words, stay out of it. Stay out of it, all right? Do what the word of God says, all right? Pray for them. Pray for them, all right? Not that a hatchet would fall on them, not that a rock would fall on them, but if people out there lying on you, okay, people are out there coming against you false, the Bible says, hey, if they're coming against you false, despitefully using you and talking about you and all of that for the gospel's sake, in other words, because you're trying to do right, and yet they want to lie on you and tell false stories on you, leave it to God. The Bible says, hey, rejoice and be exceedingly glad because great is your reward with the Father in heaven. God got a great reward for you, and he's going to take care of the matter, all right? So check out your motive for what you're planning to do, all right? So here we are, these religious leaders, which might be called shepherds at the time because they were the ones to proclaim the word of God. They were the ones to lead the people. Yes, they were the ones, the religious leaders. So you might call them shepherds in a way, all right? And so anyway, they questioned the man that was now had his sight. They questioned his parents rather than accepting the report of the man. And now then they go back. And even they couldn't even rejoice with the community that was rejoicing with him because they were saying, hey, this is the man. He's the one that's laid there year after year begging. He's the one that's been blind all this time. We recognize who he is, but now he's seeing. Oh, and they were able to rejoice with him. But the religious leaders, no, they were not happy, all right? And so they came back again, and then they started rebuking him even further, all right? Hey, who are you? Because the man, he got some boldness about him. And he said, you've asked me before, and now you're asking me again. Why are you asking me? In other words, he's saying, paraphrasing, do you want to get saved too? Do you want to become a follower too? Oh, my God. And so the religious leaders, okay, they were upset. You know, who are you? Somebody that was born in sin, somebody that got sin, that's in sin, gonna counsel us that, hey, we should be able to take criticism. We should be able to take questioning. If you know you're right and you know you're not wrong, all right, hey, why would you get angry when somebody questions you or someone asks you a question? Why? Just have the anointing of God and the fruit of the Spirit upon you and be able to respond to them. Because sometimes in the way we respond, we'll confound them. If we respond without being angry, respond without retaliating, respond without turning around blaming and accusing and belittling that person for their questions, Hey, that will confound them. What do you mean confound, Dr. Wilder? Confound means, hey, they'll become convicted because they're expecting people to respond the way they respond. They're expecting people to treat, you know, to be the way they are, talking bad, swearing, being aggressive, and all those hind words. Oh, my God. Then you can come back and say, hey, let's reason together. Let me explain. You asked the question, so now let me give you an explanation. Let me explain, answer your question. Oh, my God. Oh, you threw them off key. You throw them off balance. Yes, we throw them right off balance because we're doing what the Word of God says. And the Word of God tells us how to behave and how to carry ourselves. And we're always going to get fruit, good fruit from that if we just obey the Word of God. You say, but that's hard, Dr. Wilder. I didn't say it wasn't hard at first. But as we practice it, it doesn't become hard. Okay? No, just like people like to say, it's hard to obey the Word of God. Well, I always say, you've heard me say it before, when you're telling on yourself. Because the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. And a transgressor is one that does not want to obey the Word of God, don't want to do things the way God says. We want to do things our way. If somebody curses out, we want to curse them back. Somebody don't speak to us, we don't want to speak to them. Somebody be nasty to us, we want to be nasty back to them. But the Bible says just the contrary. Jesus said, I know this is the way you've been taught in the past, an eye for an eye and all of that stuff, okay? He says, but this is what I say. I come teaching a different way, which means you're going to get a different result. And so whenever we want to do things our way, according to our understanding, yes, and we yield to that, yes, it's hard. It's hard. But, oh, if we just come to know the Lord, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. Jesus Christ was doing the talking in our text today. Jesus Christ identified himself as being the good shepherd. I love that. When you can identify yourself, you can say, I am a child of God. Yes, I am a disciple of Christ. Yes, I am. You're criticizing me, and you might be even belittling me, but I still stand firm in saying that I am a believer. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that Jesus paid the price for my sins. I believe that Jesus redeemed me from the curse of sickness and disease. I believe. Oh, my God. It's awesome to be able to stand that in the midst and make such a declaration in the midst of persecution. But, oh, my God, how awesome the reward that comes with that. What a reward. Mighty rewards, okay? And so here we are, that these religious leaders, they were rude and they were crude. They were downright ugly, I'll say, to both the man who had received his sight, who received the miracle. Who would know better than the man of what had happened to him? He finally got to the point to say, I don't know. All I know is that, yes, I don't know who he is, or any of that, but I know what he did for me. If somebody needed to hear that. Yes, I've talked to you before about that. You're wondering, how can I testify? What is my purpose in life? Well, listen, your purpose is to bring glory to the Lord, and that's through our living, through our lives. We don't have to go out there looking for something big out there. Begin to share your testimony. Share how God brought you out of the situation that you couldn't seem to get out of. Share how God purified your bloodstream, that no longer did you crave nicotine, even after you had tried for years and fought the patches and done all those things to get free of the taste of nicotine, the craving for nicotine or alcohol or some illicit drugs or some even prescribed drugs, whatever, to the will of God in your body. Yes. And you tried and you tried and you tried. Even some habits that we had, some other habits, okay? The way we were living. Oh, my God. Oh, so much, so many things. And some of you said, oh, is this my answer? Somebody's listening right now, and you're struggling. Yeah, you're struggling with something. You want to be faithful to your wife. You want to be faithful to your husband. You want to be a good husband, a good wife. Yeah, and you're struggling. Well, yes, this is still the answer. You want to latch on to the good shepherd. You want to let him into your life, the good shepherd being Jesus Christ. You want to allow him to come into your life and allow him to take over. Begin to call him Lord. Surrender everything to him because he's given his everything. God has given his everything, his only begotten son for you, and Jesus gave his all in all, his life for you. So why not you give over your life to him? Pause on that one. As the scripture says, Selah moment means just a time to just think about it. Think about that. Oh, he gave his all for you. So now is the time. Why not? And see, won't he do, hey, that thing that you've been trying to get done in your life. See, can he purify your bloodstream? See, can he take away the taste for nicotine and alcohol and any of those other things? Think on it and give him a chance that you don't want to go that way you used to go anymore. You don't want to go down that old dark path anymore. You don't want to be sneaking around corners, dark corners, and hiding out to do what you've been doing. You don't want to do that anymore. Oh, somebody. Yes, go and lift your hands and praise him. So he is bringing you an answer today. You've been struggling, and you've been trying to quit those old habits. You've been trying, but you were doing it in your own strength. I'm sure that many years this man wanted to be healed, and he probably did whatever few that he might receive his sight, and none of them worked. But along comes Jesus and gives him an instruction, and he followed the instruction. And now, listen, everybody won't be happy. No, and they'll often try to bring up your past. But this man got bold enough, and he says, listen, all I know is I'm healed. I was blind, but now I see. In other words, we don't have to answer every question people ask us. I said earlier, hey, yes, you can take the time to respond to them. How are you going to respond? With your testimony. You're not going to be begging them and pleading with them to believe you. You can just simply say, you see me now, and you knew me then. I have a changed life now. My testimony is I don't crave those things I used to crave. I don't want to go where I used to go. I don't want to keep that old company that used to entice me to do the wrong things. I don't want to do that and keep their company anymore. All I know is I called Jesus, and he heard my cry. Woo! And not only did he hear me, he answered me. And what you see now in front of you is a changed individual. I'm born again. I'm a child of the living God. Jesus did it. He did it for me. That's all you have to do. Tell your testimony. They can receive it or they can leave it. But you want to move on. You don't want to stay there begging and pleading. Hey, you don't want to try to be convincing them that you're a changed person. Let your life speak for you. Let your life speak for you. As you move on and you don't do those things you used to do, and you don't go to places you used to go. Hey, after a while, people will see it. But in the meantime, who's important? The Lord is important. He sees and he knows. He knows your heart. And that's who you want to stay clean before. Clean hands and a pure heart before the Lord, because he looks beyond that outward appearance. He doesn't pay attention to what's going on out in your heart. Is it to please God? Oh, my Lord. So, hey, I know I'm giving the answer to somebody today. Somebody's getting delivered while I'm talking. And that is the goal. That is the effort here, to get delivered, to get set free from those chains and shackles that have you held you in the past. And we're going to see as we move on here. So the point is, as we go on in this text, and yes, finally, you know, we get on down to the end. The point is, chapter 10 is picking up from there, all right, that even these religious leaders who thought they were right, okay, who like to proclaim that they were they had the answers and everything. But God, Jesus comes along and says to them, you know, in that 41st verse, Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say you see, sin remains. In other words, once we get to a point to be able to say, I need help, okay? I don't have it all together. I need help. Then you're in a position to get help. These religious leaders, they couldn't confess and admit that they were blind to the truth, all right, that they were. So they kept professing that, hey, they could see and they had it all together, and therefore you can't get any help when you're that way. If you're walking around always saying, I am in charge, I am somebody, I got the last word, and this and that and so on and so forth, how are you going to get some help? You know, we got to be able to come clean before the Lord, humble ourselves and say, Lord, search me. See if there's any wicked way in me. Jeremiah already told us that the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? We know God knows it. He's the one that says he sees the heart. Hey, we're on a journey. We're on a journey. We might have already accepted Jesus Christ in our lives, which means we've been forgiven of the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin has been paid, but we're still here. We are still in the presence of sin, okay? And so there are times we're going to slip, yes, but we don't have to stay there. Remember, I said it's your motive, okay? Sometimes we're overtaken. Sometimes, you know, we haven't learned yet. We're still in the process of being sanctified, meaning putting off that old stuff, putting off old thoughts, old actions, for old reactions. We're in the process of doing that. And so, hey, there are times we may slip. There are times that we didn't know that was wrong yet because we hadn't come to learn it from the Word of God yet, all right? But keep remember, we're being sanctified. We're being sanctified. That doesn't mean that we're, you know, that it's in the clothing. No, Spirit of the Lord, let us know. Some things we will take off and put on, but that doesn't determine whether you're saved or not. It's a fruit of being saved because the Spirit of the Lord helps us, okay, to put off that which is not uplifted, all right, that which doesn't bring glory to the Lord, all right? But your salvation isn't based on that. It's just the fruit. It's a fruit. It's important, okay? And so the point is when we slip up, we make a mistake, rather than trying to cover it over and say, oh, well, I'm somebody, and oh, so on and so forth, we run to the Lord. Because he said if we just confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. So as we go to him, he'll forgive you. You don't have to walk around with that on you forever. He forgives you, and then he's going to strengthen you. He's going to teach you. He's going to help you not to keep repeating the same old thing. Yes, I know somebody said, I hear that all the time from you, Dr. Wilder. You do. You probably do, because this is so important for people to get it. Because as much as you hear it from me, I still get people coming. In my everyday life, in my work life, I still get them coming, and they're having trouble with this issue. Oh, but I prayed, and I thought I was saved, but I messed up. Or somebody told me, okay, I went to that church, and they told me I'm not saved because I did this or I did that. Well, there's a process of deliverance. Remember, you walked in that old way a long time, okay? So now, hey, you change sides. You're now on the Lord's side. Let him help you detangle all of that stuff that you used to walk in and you used to do, all right? Hey, but don't keep backtracking. Don't keep backtracking and don't keep agreeing with people that don't understand. But tell you, you're not saved. You're not saved. What did the Word of God say? The Word of God says confess your hey, he said, confess the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe him in your heart, believe it and confess it with your mouth, he said, you'll be saved. It has to do with a heart and mouth connection, a heart and mouth. What comes out of the mouth comes up out of the mouth, comes out of your heart. So do you believe that Jesus died for you? Do you believe that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins? Do you believe that? He says, confess him as Lord. In other words, take control of my life. You are the one. You're the man, so to speak. You gave your all for me. And let me tell you, by just making that confession, you're receiving all of his finished work. You're receiving the fact and you're acknowledging the fact that you couldn't pay your own penalty for sin. Yeah, that death that death edict was on your life and you couldn't take it off, but that Jesus did it by way of in that. Okay, you're not trying to sweep it under the rug. You're confessing it, all right? So as I move on with my text here, that indeed, all right, that it comes on and Jesus continues to talk. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and robber. Okay? He said, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Okay? To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, as I did research on this, you know, you hear me, but I don't know about being a shepherd myself, a natural shepherd, okay? But as I did some research and it talks about the sheepfold and everything, it says that many times there was a common area that at night the sheep would go into, a common area, meaning that there would be a number of sheep herders, sheep. Sheep from a lot of folds would be in the same area being kept overnight, all right? And there would be a doorkeeper. Yes, can you imagine that? You would say, well, how are you going to distinguish your sheep from others? The Bible just now tells us as the voice of the shepherd, that it just as he would come, he said he knew them, he knew his sheep. He knew them. One place said he knew them by name. Now, you know, when I look out there on some pictures and I see hundreds and hundreds of sheep, but hey, he says he knew them by name. But in addition, he had a certain call, his certain voice, okay, that his sheep would know his voice. So whenever his call went out, they knew that voice, and therefore they would come out of the pasture and out of the sheepfold and follow him, okay? And follow him. And did you hear me say follow him? Which means as they would come out, he would get in front of them and they would follow him because they knew their leader. They knew their shepherd. They didn't follow one of the other shepherds that came and made their call, all right? Each one would follow their own shepherd. Oh, somebody think about that for a minute. Yeah, this is the day that we got to reflect on these things. Yeah, get them deep down within us. Come on. And so Jesus is saying that I am the good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. And anybody that comes and tries to get into this fold, get in here, anybody else that tries to get in here, they're thieves and robbers. In other words, hey, they don't belong, and they're trying to fool their way. They're coming in camouflage. They're coming to steal. They're coming for their own interest. Because remember, sheep herding was valuable. You know, all that wool and everything, this was the people's livelihood, okay? So naturally, hey, where there is an opportunity to make money, you're going to find a robber coming along. You're going to find a thief trying to tap into it. Isn't that what we're experiencing today? Not only in the church, but in our community. Ah, every time we turn around, whatever new comes out, then there's a warning that comes out. Oh, you got to watch out for the scammers. You got to watch out. Pay attention. You can't answer every phone call. You can't answer every text. If you don't recognize the phone number, don't answer it. Don't answer that email that comes. If you don't recognize the person it's coming from, be careful. Hey, why? Because if it's something that comes out and it's possible to make money from it, you've got scammers out there that have figured out a way to cheat you out of your money. So it's not different today. We say it all the time, all right? It's still the same. The word of God has been given to us to let us know, give us examples of things. And the more we read it, read the old, and we look at life today, we find it is the same. Same things going on. Yes, but we still got the answer because the word of God has been given to us as an answer, as instructions in righteousness for a warning. Hey, it's given to us to help protect us and to help us live a life that's going to bring us joy and bountifulness. Yes, yes, yes. on that. Take your applaud. I'll give you a minute to applaud it, applaud it, applaud the revelation, applaud the insight. So Jesus comes along, and what he's doing now is he's giving, showing the conflict between the religious leaders, okay, versus a true leader. Yeah, that's what he's doing, all right? That the old ones were cruel. They were not helpful in chapter 9. They were cruel to the man, to his parents, general. And now, as we moved on into chapter 10, Jesus is telling of the contrast between his heart, because it comes from the heart, remember? It's not the outside, but the inside working on the outside. Somebody's still been trying to change the outside, but you hadn't done work on the inside. Do the work of the inside, cleaning up your heart, taking a look at your motives and all those things, and it'll show to the outside. Come on. The change comes from the inside out, not from the outside in, okay? So Jesus, again, begins to take a contrast, to talk about the contrast between his heart and the work as a leader of God, of God's people, which the sheep of that time are we of the church, of the fold, of God's fold. The church is now likened to the sheepfold, okay? We're the sheep of his pasture. We're the sheep of God's pasture. We are the sheep of God's pasture. So when you want to take a look and you say, oh, what's the character of people in the church? Look at the character of sheep. Hey, we're still the same? Scattered easily? Yeah. Oh, yeah, scattered easily. You're in a church, and rather than letting that word get in you, you go to church every week to look at the pastor. You go to church every week just to hear the final word from the pastor. Not one time do you pick up the word for yourself. Not one time do you take the time to pray and seek God for understanding of the scriptures. But you just swallow everything, hook, line, and sinker that's said to you. Sometimes it's not intentional that maybe the wrong thing is said. It's not intentional, but hey, you swallow everything. We got to stop it. We got to stop it. And we got to get in that word and study it for ourselves. Did you hear me? Let me say it again. Our responsibility is to get in the word of God, study it, meditate on it, all right, and let God give us revelation of it. So when we will know, we can say amen, amen to the word, amen, saying, hey, it is so, it is so. I read it for myself. Praise the Lord. And so, again, Jesus is here giving the contrast between his heart and the and work as a leader of God's people, and the heart and work of many religious leaders of his day. As I just said, hey, this is still pertinent. It's still pertinent. It's still the same. So he goes on in the verse, and he talks about thieves and robbers, okay? He says, how the thieves and robbers gain entry among the sheep, okay? They're false and illegal, okay? For they have is personal and political connections. That's how they get in illegally. That's how they get in illegally. Remember, these were the religious leaders. They took their stand on being who they were, all right, and being the responsibility that was assigned to them, but they didn't carry it out the way they were supposed to of their day. The question is, what do we do about our day? So because we still have those that are, all right, not necessarily sent by God, all right, that he says, Jesus said he is the good shepherd. He was and he is still the good shepherd, all right? Therefore, he, God himself, assigns us shepherds, those leaders, those religious leaders, those leaders of the church and leaders to guide us where we should go, all right? But then you got those that appoint themselves. Some people said some were sent, and some just got up and went. Yes, my God. God sent people and send peoples into our lives, people into our lives to help us, to teach us, to order our steps. And you'll know it because they always point us back to the word of God. Yes, you know, even in chapter 9, how the man finally said, hey, you know, all I know is this man, you know, told me what to do, all right? So in our case, sometimes, you know, we got to just we have to always point people. They come to us with these pretty stories. They come to us with these scenarios. But the point is we have to listen and point them back to the word of God. Yes, we can't easily fall into their stories and keep falling into whatever, you know, these pretty sounding things and saying how bad the leader is or whatever. Sometimes it's not the leader. Sometimes it's us that don't want to take the instructions of the leader, all right? So in that case, we have to, as the leader, we got to always do the Lord. Point them back to the word of God. How many times do I say it? When I start out, I'm saying, read the word for yourself. Come on, read the scriptures for yourself, all right? Don't just take what Dr. Wilder says to you as well, and how hard I try to give you the reference and point it out. That what I'm pointing out, that what I'm saying is coming from the word of God, I still beg you to pick up the Bible and read it for yourself. All right? So, all right? But Jesus goes on and he's talking about the false and illegal, those that are illegal leaders, illegal shepherds. All right? And one sign is that they are out for personal and political, they get there through personal and political connections. They were popular. They knew who to call on. They knew who would put them up, all right? They knew who had the connection, the financial connections, okay? They made promises of what they would do for them and everything, all right? Not for the good of all, but for the good of the few, all right? And another way is that the false and illegal shepherds get in place is through formal education. We got a lot of people that are still going to school to become a leader because they think that if I become a pastor, everything will be at ease for me. There's a good salary that will come. The people are catered to me. I'll have it all made, okay? And so there are some that go to school for that, and school is good. Look, you know I love education. Go to school. But bottom line, we want to go to the school of the living God. We want Christ in our lives. We want to surrender our lives to the Lord. And our ultimate training, our ultimate education is not in how well we can just talk the word, but we want to be able to rightly divide the word. And we want to receive revelation and insight from God to share with the people, to share with the sheep of his pasture, all right? And third, there's that ambition. Ambition goes along with that education. Ambition. Oh, I'm a pastor. Oh, I'm a bishop. I'm a prophet. They go on and on. That ambition to get there, the ambition to have these titles. Hey, titles, but no power. Titles, but no submission unto the living God. Titles, okay? Ambition, all right? We should be humble and submitted, all right? And it's gotten people off track because some people think that that's the only way. Hey, that's the only way I can be used of God. No, listen, a lady said to me, a renowned pastor and well-respected woman down in a town not far from here, when I early in my salvation, she says to me, don't worry about titles. Don't worry about getting a piece of paper. She said, walk in the doors that are open to you. Don't be caught up in, I'm carrying it farther now, in waiting for papers and fighting for papers and titles. Just wherever the Lord would allow you to proclaim his word, you walk in those doors. And I'll never forget her telling me that. And therefore, for them reasons, one of those reasons, maybe part of it, one of the reasons I didn't fall into some of those traps of being invited. Let me give you license. Let me give you this. Let me give you that. No, I just stayed on the sideline. When I couldn't go in, I prayed. When I didn't get invited in, nobody could stop me from writing notes to encourage individuals. So at that time, I would write notes and I would pray and do all those things for the people. And God was seeing. And when time came, God elevated me. So, and that's what you want. All right. Got to rush on. And then number four is manipulation. Yes. Even within the congregation, many times, within the sheepfold, within the body of Christ, there's manipulation. There's whispering and all. You know, they're not doing right. I can do right. And hey, let's separate. Let's start our own. So there's that manipulation. And then, of course, corruption goes right along with it. That corruption, when he says, I'm the good shepherd. He's not coming to try to steal from us. And that's what he goes on to say. The legally, he's a man that loves calling. He has a calling on his life, cares, and sacrificial service. That renders sacrificial service. That's when the one comes in legally. That the characteristics of that one that comes in legally, okay? They have the love, a love of God in their hearts, which means they have the love for the people. They have that calling on their lives, okay? That God has stamped them and God has anointed them. His anointing rests upon them, all right? They care for the flock. They care. And not only that, they go on and sacrifice themselves. Sacrifice, sacrificial service when they don't want to. They don't want to get up at night. They don't want to have to make the trip to the hospital and all those things. But they know that the people need them. The people care. And he or she has to be there. Sacrificial. The true shepherd leads his flock and does not drive them or lord over them. Hey, lord over them. Meaning, in other words, controlling their every move. No, he doesn't do that. He or she doesn't do that. They encourage us to learn, encourage us, teach us so that we can distinguish the good from the bad, all right? Oh, my God. But encourage us to pick up and bring in and do whatever is going to help accomplish even greater understanding and enhancement in our lives. That good shepherd, the true shepherd goes before the sheep as an example. I love it. They go before the sheep. They don't just send the sheep out, okay? The scripture here, Jesus was saying, that good shepherd knows, he knows his sheep and the sheep know him. They know his voice and they won't follow another, all right? So a good shepherd is one that goes out before the sheep. And he's an example. He's an example for those that are watching. Example for those that are around. Hey, and he protects and promotes life versus taking away their life. Yes, there's more than one way to take away life. We fail to encourage people to grow up and come forth and how to tap into the goodness of the Lord, all right? Then we're kind of depleting them. Are robbing them of a good life, all right? They go in and out, okay? They go in and out, which means they encourage the people to get to know the Lord and to know his voice and to be able to decipher his voice, meaning his word, from any other so that they can enjoy daily life. The good shepherd will not abandon. The good shepherd protects. The good shepherd leads. The good shepherd makes sacrifices, and the good shepherd knows his sheep. He knows their personalities and characteristics. Yes, so there's a song that says, Jesus knows my name, and I find that you find a couple of renditions. So as I get ready to close out today, I'm saying to you, the good shepherd, I'm talking to you about the good shepherd. The good shepherd makes sacrifices of himself. The good shepherd has his sheep in his peripheral, his concern. That's his totally concern. And big thing that says he knows their name. He knows their name. He knows their name. The Lord knows your name. Is that something? Other people might not know your name, but the Lord knows your name. So like I said, started to say there's a song that says, Jesus knows my name. I suggest that you Google it and begin to read it, okay? It says, he knows my name. He knows my name. And oh, now he walks with me. Oh, how he talks with me. Oh, how he tells me that I am his own, the good shepherd. His voice lets us know, hey, that we hear his voice and we follow his voice. We won't follow another. Only the voice of the good shepherd, the shepherd Jesus Christ. We'll know his voice. We get to know it by spending time in his word. We get to know it by spending time with him in prayer. We get to know it by spending time in meditation. We get to know it, hallelujah, by just having that intimate relationship with him. So we'll know his voice against all other voices. But Jesus said, the thief comes to rob, steal, and destroy. He said, but I have come That's 10 and 10, part of my text today. He said, but I have come that you would have life and have that more abundantly. So that's the purpose of the good shepherd. That's the yearning of the good shepherd. That he knows your name. He knows your personality. He knows everything about you. Hey, Jesus knows my name. So this has been Dr. Annie B. Wilder coming to exhort you in the word again, talking about the good shepherd, the good shepherd, the good shepherd. We are sheep of God's pasture, and he has placed good shepherds out there over us, good leaders, all right? But you got to get to know them. You got to be able to recognize them. And you got to know that God means well for us. He means growth. He means happiness. He means life to be more abundant for us. He knows your name. So until the next time, this has been Dr. Annie B. Wilder coming on the Dr. Annie B. Wilder, inviting you to join me again the next time that comes, next week, all right? And in the meantime, go back and pull up some of my broadcasts. Go out there on YouTube and pull up the Wilder, the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show, and listen to some of my previous broadcasts. They're all about exhorting you, okay, and letting you know how loved and how precious you are, okay, that we do have a good shepherd, one that loves us, one that's not trying to fleece us, but one that wants to build us up and bless us mightily, okay, that we would enjoy, have life, and that more abundantly. So until the next time, you be blessed.